This podcast is sponsored by gamesbasement.co.uk, the only games website designed by gamers for gamers. Follow us on Twitter and don't forget to visit www.gamesbasement.co.uk. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the High Score podcast. Dr. Zach Zeus here, joined by Strive as always.
Episode 7. It's been a while, though.
Yeah. We've had
a couple of weeks break.
Yeah, we apologise for the breaks, but we are just regular people, and there's other things going on, and yeah. We shouldn't really have so many breaks, hopefully, in the future. But yeah, just recently had a few things going on, both us doing different bits. And
yeah, I do want to say a quick thank you to everybody, because obviously I did take a couple of weeks off. There was a lot of personal shit happening. Most of that is sorted now, and I want to say thank you to all the kind messages and the things that people said, and the fact that they were going to miss us for our 2 weeks. It shows that we're appreciated. So, but we're back.
Yeah,
we're going to get started.
Yeah, should we just explain, because we've been talking before
we
this.
Have been talking.
I had a lot of things to talk about, and this episode of the podcast is going to be a little bit shorter than maybe ones we've done previously, and we are working on. We want to change things up. We want to mix things. There's different things we want to change, and we've got loads of ideas going around in our heads. And we just want to make the show as good as we can for everybody that listens, and as well, maybe have things slightly different. That's do some bits that you're not going to be able to get everywhere else. So we're going over some bits. Like any suggestions people have, I guess, like we'll take anything into
definitely.
Account. But yeah, we're going to be going around, like bouncing a few ideas about, and then there's both the podcast is going to change a bit, and there's possibly the site's going to change a little bit as well. Some of the things we're doing.
I think as people would have probably seen, the newest post on there is basically about how the future's going to change a little bit. I'm going to start doing some writing for a few other sites and put some links up. It's going to turn more into a blog-based site, but we are going to still have some reviews. We've got a few really, really good ideas, some really interesting things going on. I think we're going to kind of smooth those out, most likely get the ideas up on the website just to see what people think. And then, yeah, you guys can give us your feedback, and we're going to start just changing it up a little bit, a bit more exciting.
So we get some exciting new changes, and yeah, just keep your eye on the site, and obviously we'll keep you updated through the podcast for everyone who's listening to that. We're going to, as I say, it'll be a little bit shorter, but we're going to start off, and there's going to be lots of similar things. We're going to start off with what we've been playing, and do you want to go over some things?
Yeah, I can start. I mean, I haven't been playing a great deal, because as a few people know, I've been on holiday. It did give me a chance. I had the typical British seaside holiday.
Yeah.
For any of our American listeners, I went to a place called Great Yarmouth, which is a typical seaside place. Ice cream, seafood, arcades, got to play some games. I was a bit disappointed with the state of the arcades, but I did play a few cool games while I was out there. I have played a couple of games on home console, so it's probably going to be a bit short for me this week. Where should I start? Should I start on arcades? Because that's probably going to make me
Yeah, go with some of the arcades.
Okay, what did I play in the arcades? I mean, I played, unfortunately, like the British arcades. I'm actually going to be writing a feature about this soon, so I'm not going to go into greater depth. But the problem with like a lot of the British arcades is that nowadays, a lot of it's all gambling machines, crane machines, fruit machines, things like that. So the games are kind of tucked away. But I did play some awesome. I played the new Sega Rally. I played Sega Rally 3. I don't know how new it is, because we don't really have an arcade magazine or anything over here that tells us when games are actually out. So I played the new Sega Rally. Really, really good game. I'm hoping that they bring it over to a home console, because it played really nicely. Graphics were really nice. The physics engine was fantastic. But I liked sitting in the actual cabinet, because I had a proper handbrake, I had proper gear stick and things like that. So that was great to play. Played some shooting games. There was one that I played, I can't remember the name of it now, so you'll have to forgive me, which was kind of like holding a Lancer. I've spoken to you about this already.
Oh, yeah.
It was similar machine to Time Crisis. So I had the pedal and you had the gun. The gun was, like I said, it was a bit like a Lancer, but without the chainsaw on it. And when you stepped on the pedal, rather than getting behind cover, you pulled up a ballistic shield. And then it was kind of like having, a futuristic M16 or something. It was very kind of Gears of War style gun. And then you would upgrade it to similar to like a cross between a grenade launcher and a rocket launcher. And it was brilliant, sort of like next gen visuals, awesome sound. Whether they bring it to a home console or not, it's difficult to say, because these sort of games don't really port very well. But I think anyone who's got an arcade, I'll try it, not near them, I'll try and grab the name of it and put that up on the site. I played Guitar Hero Arcade.
Arcade?
Yeah, Guitar Hero Arcade. I was walking down there and I'd seen it, and I, being a massive fan of Guitar Hero Rock Band style things, I had to dash across and play. It was really expensive though. It's like Yeah, I found it in two arcades, and in one it was a pound per song, and in another one it was 50p per song. So I played the 50p per song, and it's literally like standing in front of a wall of speakers. I've got a picture of the machine that I'll put up at some point. The guitars didn't have a whammy bar, which is quite strange. I suppose because like drunkards going down there and snapping them off. Yeah. Obviously they don't want that. And the guitars were heavier. I don't know why, but they were like, it was like holding four guitars rather than
probably
one.
Just like sturdier, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose because you could swing it against the machine and break it. And there are a lot of yobs in this country that would probably do that. But it was a really good fun thing to play, and it had that kind of atmosphere that you knew if you started playing a song, you were going to have at least two or three people around you watching you play it, which was really cool. But one thing I did find is that practically every song was a cover. It wasn't ever the master songs, and I suppose that's probably got a lot to do with the fact that it's playing in public.
Yeah, I guess so.
License, but that really kind of let me down, because not all of the songs were the popular songs from Guitar Hero 3. I think it was based on 3 because it had Slash in it. But not all of the songs were kind of the best ones from 3, and like I say, and they were covers. So to play it in the arcade was great, but for the price, the fact that the quality of the songs, it just wasn't really worth it. But I had a bit of fun on that, and I played Outrun.
All right, yeah.
I had to play Outrun in the arcade. I was scoured every single arcade to play Outrun, but the machine was broken.
Oh, man.
Ah, crap. I put a pound in, got 3 credits, and the car just kept veering to the left and smashing into the walls. I was gutted because I would say I'm not too bad at the console version. You know, I can hold my own on the leaderboards, and I've never played the arcade version by shift drifting. So I wanted to like see how I could shift down, shift up, and drift the corners. And it was a broken machine. I didn't get a chance myself. I was gutted because I really, really wanted to play that the most. I played a few other arcade games. You know, I played an Afterburner arcade game, which I'd not seen before, you actually sat in a cockpit.
Yeah, I think it's Climax or something.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I think I put a pound in, and I think it lasted me about 40 seconds.
Oh,
nice. I swear, it was so hard. I've not played such a difficult game in the arcade. So yeah, I played a few of those, and it kind of made me quite sad because I grew up in a seaside town with an arcade, or with a lot of arcades. So a lot of my childhood was arcade based, and a lot of my gaming from when I was sort of like from the age of probably 10 to 17, I spent a lot of time playing games in the arcades, and it made me really sad to see the state of the arcade culture in this country. And my aim is to try and write a feature about it. And I mean, like, the thing that saddened me the most, I've already spoken to you about it, was that I actually found a Tekken 5 machine. And I'd already found a couple, but they either were turned off or they weren't working, which is sad enough. But when I finally found one that was on, it was stuffed in the very, very, very back corner. And I mean the furthest back point in the arcade you could find. And it literally probably had a centimetre of dust on it. And there wasn't even fingerprints in it. So no one was even, you know, playing it. So I literally wiped it down, got about 3 or 4 fights in, but it was set on the hardest difficulty. And I just think that it's quite sad that, even though Tekken's not the best fighting game in the world, it's quite sad that such a good fighting game can be disregarded by so many people. And yeah, that's obviously cost the arcade owner money, so why don't they want to make that money back?
Yeah. You
know? Sad state of affairs. But anyway, away from sad state of affairs and arcade games, I was lucky enough to come home to my review copy of UFC 2009. And we all knew this conversation was coming.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bore people too much. I am writing a review of it, and it's going to go. It's not going to go up on High Score. It's going to go up on a site called Nidzumi. So I'll put up a link to the review when it's up. Basically, I was super excited, as we all know, about this game coming out, and put the review copy in and created my fighter. I have to say, the creative fighter mode is probably one of the best ones I've played. Like I've used, because you can do everything obviously from the height and the weight, which is obviously very important in a fighting game for your reach and your weight class and stuff like that. But you can obviously go all the way down to like physical appearance, whether they've got a beard, whether they've got, you know, beauty spots on their face and things like that. And I thought it was really nice to be able to do that, especially considering the animation models in it were so crisp and so beautiful. And I mean, anyone who's played the demo can pretty much attest to the fact that it's a gorgeous game to look at. The gameplay is very much like the demo. I mean, there's no real differences to it other than the fact that it's obviously deeper and it's a full career mode.
Yeah.
One thing I found was that it was quite hard to get the grips of it when I first started playing it. I spoke to you the other day when we went to MCM about how I was actually really struggling with a few of my fights. So obviously when you start, you're ranked at the bottom of the, you know, the world rankings in the UFC, and you work your way up and obviously try and get your hands on the title. And I was getting to sort of like ranks sort of 7, 8, 9. And anytime I was sort of fighting above my rank, I was literally getting my ass kicked. So when I was sort of like, I played in the welterweight. So when I was sort of fighting the lower down guys, I'm going to throw out names that people probably don't know of, but when you fight against people like Machida, who's a Japanese judo fighter towards the bottom of the welterweight category, you know, he was relatively easy to beat. But then when I was playing people like Matt Serra, Matt Hughes, Diego Sanchez, who are like the best fighters in the UFC at the moment, they were owning me within the first round. But what I found, it's really like a time management type game as well, because you've obviously got your calendar. You're approached by the people who run the UFC, which is Dana White and his partner. And basically they say to you, right, we're going to give you a fight. You choose who you want to fight. You've got 11 weeks till you fight this person. And then over that 11 weeks, you have to spar and train. And I was finding that I was training like my strength, my speed, and my cardio more than I was sparring. And it was the sparring that was helping me getting out of moves, getting into transitions, getting into submissions, and actually knocking people out as well. And when I started doing that, I was having a much better time with it.
Yeah.
I've won my first belt in welterweight. I played it online. It's laggy and really bad frame rate online. I've only played it once though. It could have been against an American host who might have had a stupidly great connection, and mine's not particularly good. So I want to try it with a UK person. So if there's anyone out there that's got UFC and you want to match, hit me up on Xbox Live. I really want to test this game online, particularly before I finish writing the review tonight. So I'm going to look for some people to play, but obviously I want to sort of add to the review. When I played it, it was very laggy, bad frame rate, and I think it's going to be one of those games that's not going to have many people playing it online.
Yeah, so let's see, like, I've been playing a fair bit of Street Fighter online, and that's particularly good online with connections. Like, I've had hardly any lag. As well, before every fight, you can see different people's connection speed on there, so you can pick the ones that are going to be better. But I've even done, like, that does like a kind of like a 5-star system where there's like 5 bars, and if all 5 of them are lit up, that's green, and that's like a perfect connection. Mm-hmm. But I've done ones where there's only 2 of those lit up, and it's still been good enough. Like, there might have been one part in the fight where we like both jumped at some point, and we both seemed to pause. But it seemed in Street Fighter 4 that you both paused for a second. No one had an advantage, and then it just got back in, and it was back to normal. And like, you kind of know if you're going to go into a fight with a lower connection, you know that might happen. But it was still, I would say that the connection was pretty good for a fighting game. And if anyone was on all the like full 5 green bars, it's just going to be like playing them local.
Yeah. See, I think that's the problem that UFC suffers with, is that, you know, I'm not going to slam it, because, like I say, you know, it might just be the connection between me and this other guy, and it might be that I'll play 5 more matches later today and it might be perfect. But it was very much that I felt like I was lagging, and while I was lagging, he was able to get me into different positions on the floor to then submit me. And I think that was the worst part of it. That, I mean, it was bad enough that I went in obviously at level 1 because I'd never played, and it put me against a level 23, which I thought was really unfair. So the matchmaking's pretty shit anyway. Yeah. But the fact that I then ended up in quite a laggy match, and he literally, you know, he got me onto the floor, and then from the moment I was on the floor to the end, I couldn't really move except like around in a circle from like in the different guard positions. And unfortunately, it wasn't even that entertaining what I did play, because he just kept basically trying to get into mount on top of me and then just kept spamming the punch button in my face. So all I was really doing was holding block, and every once in a while trying to either catch a punch or move to a position, which, to be fair, because he had probably had host advantage, he could actually see that coming and counter it. I think he's going to play very much like games like Virtua Fighter 5, where you're going to have people who are absolutely amazing at it, and then people like myself or other newbies might come along and just get utterly owned and not want to play at all. Admittedly, it was a ranked match, but to be fair, as you see in games like Halo, you know, even if you go into just a standard, you know, social match, you've still got fucking generals and corporals and people like that in it. You know, and these people are still going to play player matches. So I'd like to find a few friends out there that I could play it with and experience the online properly, because I think it could work. But I think the online's going to be sort of slightly let down.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with that kind of thing is that all games that you want to play online, unless there's a lot of people playing them, the matchmaking won't work anyway, because if there's only like 100 people on there, it'll either be, if there's no one around who's your rank, then it's either not play or...
Yeah, and that's the problem. I do think, I mean, I really hope that a lot of people go out and buy it, because it's a fantastic game, and I hope a lot of people do play it online and try and even out the playing field a bit. But I think the people that do jump online are going to be really put off. I mean, I played that game online on Saturday. It came out on the Friday, and this person was already level 23. They could have been a games reviewer. you know, like myself, they could have got the review copy and played it loads. But if that was someone who was just playing it, then they obviously got from level 1 to level 23 pretty quickly. And I think the other downside to it is a lot of the achievements are online, and they're all ranked as well. So yeah. It's like win 100 ranked matches. I mean, that's going to be pretty hard to do, no matter who you are. But I mean, I'll play it a little bit more over the next week, and then the next time we meet up for the podcast, I'll hopefully let people know whether it plays a bit better online. But otherwise, I'm really, really impressed with it. The game itself is great. Graphics are fantastic. The fights play out really well. I think I've probably said enough about that because I tend to go on about UFC every time we podcast or vlog anyway. So I won't go on about it too much. Because I've been away, I haven't really played a huge amount. Well, I've played a lot of games on my iPod Touch.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of a game called The Oregon Trail. Not a lot of people have heard of it, because when you download it, there's not many people who have reviewed it. The Oregon Trail is basically the Oregon Trail in the US, I think it was the 19th century. And basically, you are a family in charge of a wagon, and you have to get the wagon from one end of the Oregon Trail to the other. And you have to select the speed you want to move at and sort of balance. It's like a time management game, because you have to kind of get from one place to another, and you're given a certain amount of time to get there, so you have to try and keep on schedule, but you need to move at the right speed so you're not consuming too much food, so that your wagon's not taking too much damage, and then you'll meet people along the way that will say that they want you to take, you know, deliver a package from here to here, so you've got to then put that into your time schedule, and then you might meet a hitchhiker that wants to be dropped off there, and so you're benefiting from it by collecting money and food, but then you've obviously got to balance it out as well. Will I be then late to that outpost to then deliver this package? So the graphics are all very sort of 2D cartoony. If anyone ever used to watch like the Joe cartoon site on the websites, you gave me a puzzled look then.
I don't know what that is.
Oh man, I'm going to have to show you Joe cartoon after this then. If anyone's ever familiar with like Joe cartoon or this kind of like 2D thick black line drawings that you sort of see a lot of at the moment, it's animated very much like that. So it's very easy on the eye. It's very sort of cute and sweet to look at, but it's really, really in depth. When you first look at it, you think, well, you know, I'll just press run and I'll get to there really quickly. But then, you know, a wheel will come off your wagon. Or like my daughter on there got sick with like some kind of tummy bug, and that then sets you back by 3 days because you have to look for medicine and things.
All right.
So there's a lot of like sort of intricate parts to it, and I think when you look at it, it looks very simple, but then it becomes really, really deep, and I think that sort of sucked up 3 or 4 hours while I was on holiday. I also hoard myself a bit more on Peggle, because Peggle's now out on the iPhone, iPod Touch. I'm not going to touch on Peggle too much, because everyone knows how much I like it, and everybody has sort of heard me rave about it. But one thing I will say is that anyone who's read my feature on Peggle, I was talking about the best one to play it on, and I always said it was the PC. And to this day, I'll still say, if you can play Peggle, play it on the PC. But I swear to God, if you've got an iPhone or an iPod Touch, fucking download it. It's like £2.99. I think it's like $4 in the US. So obviously, it's pretty much the cheapest version. It's only Peggle. It's not Peggle Knights. But it is probably the best control system I've played, besides a mouse. You just literally have the grid, and then on the side of your touch screen, you have like a wheel that you then scroll up and down, and it moves the cannon, or you can drag your finger across the screen. You double tap it to zoom in, and then you've just got a fire button. You've also got the fast forward button, but you can also play the replay of your shot and then save it to your hand, to your unit. So you could then, you know, show a friend if you've made like a really massive, like 1 million point shot, you can save it and then show it to a friend, which is really cool. I'm hoping they're going to perhaps update it, maybe so you can send it or upload your replay to Twitter.
Yeah,
or something like that. Because there's a lot of games like Word Foo and Flight Control that you can now upload your scores to Twitter. So I'm hoping that they integrate that into Peggle, because it would just, you know, it would just push the addiction on even further. So far, it's a fantastic version. I haven't completed it yet, but that's taken up a lot of my time as well.
So
I played a few iPhone games. Other than that, like, so I say, I've been on holiday, so I haven't really played a lot since I've been back. I dabbled a little bit on Call of Duty the other night. On World at War. It was mainly because I had been listening to other podcasts, and there's a lot of hype coming out around the second map pack.
All right.
Which should be out in June. And because I was hearing a lot about it, I hadn't really played a huge amount of map pack one, so I wanted to go back and play that. So I picked up Deathmash. We went online. We got absolutely fucking owned and turned it off. It's got to the point now where people are such high prestige, even on like their version of social team Deathmash. I'm prestige, I'm almost prestige 2, Deathmash prestige 1. We were up against prestige 7, 8, 9 and 10 most of the time. So we were getting absolutely owned by people. So it's kind of losing its fun at the moment. So I'm hoping when Map Pack 2 comes out, it might change that.
Yeah, I've always wondered how, because it's supposed to have in COD, and I've always thought it's in COD, it's supposed to have a matchmaking that doesn't deal with the actual ranks, but on a skill, the skill-based point. But it never seems to...
Doesn't seem to really work from my perspective. The amount of games... I mean, we won our first game. We did relatively well. I think we beat the other team by about 300 points. Now, I don't ever really play Lone Wolves or Ooly Ooly, as we call it in the UK. I always tend to play team-based, and I don't tend to play objective-based on Call of Duty either. But, you know, we won our first game pretty well, and then after that, we started to get a lot of really high prestiges in, and it just seemed that we were being put against really high skill players. One thing I'd like to see in a lot more of these online games is whether there is a... Because I would assume, because, I mean, like, you look at the stats that Bungie can get and Epic can get from their games, and it makes me wonder that, is there a way of, like, logging when that person last played online? So, like, last time I played Call of Duty online was probably when Map Pack 1 came out, so it's been quite a while since I played, and I'd like to see if there's a way of these companies saying, well, look, that person hasn't played in a month, so let's try and put them against someone that's a lower skill, because,
or someone who's well who hasn't played for a month.
Because at the end of the day, if you've taken a month off, I mean, I had to remember what the grenade button was. Yeah. That was how long it had been since I played, so I don't want to be, like, fumbling for the grenade button while someone's coming up and sticking with the bayonet, you know, and I just think that that kind of put me off, and we only played about four or five matches, and then we were like, no, fuck this, let's play Peggle, you know, and we played a bit of Poker Smash on XBLA, just because it gets to the point where you start to get really frustrated, because you are just getting owned at every point in the game.
Yeah, it does happen. I've always found it with, like, it's the exact same thing I did think about with Halo before, and the only way to counteract it really is to, although you play equally hard people in a lot of time in social match, but the only way I'd do is, if I hadn't been playing, I'd play sort of like 45 minutes of social matches just to get my eye in and get used to everything, and then jump into the ranked matches. But yeah, they have done some useful, like, I do think, like, both those games have done some useful things. So I think Halo's matchmaking is still, like, not been better by anyone.
No one's got easily the best system out there.
No one's got anything as good as that. I did like how some of the things that in COD 4, how you could play, like, Team Deathmatch, and there was a version of Team Deathmatch where everyone was on their own, like, all solo players put into a team rather than playing four
I think
droids.
That's like mercenary type mode.
I thought that was
got it on COD 5 as well.
I think that's quite a nice little idea of just changing things up a little bit, just so that, because obviously it is generally easier to rank up and do better when you're playing with sort of three mates who you're always playing with, because you know how each other plays. It's a bit like playing a sport sort of thing. You just get used to what everyone does, the way that they play, and how to work together.
So I think one of my other big problems when we logged on was that I wanted to go and play the Map Pack 1, because I'd only really played the maps sort of just a handful of times, really. So I wanted to play those because it was something fresher, and you can still, even now, select just to play on those maps. A bit like when Mythic released for Halo, you just played that playlist. So we logged in, and luckily on Call of Duty it will tell you how many people are in each in each match. And we logged in, and I went down to Map Pack 1, Team Deathmatch, 973 people online playing just that. And I was really disappointed, because you know that 973 people are probably going to be quite high prestige, and there's going to be a very low percentage of the people that aren't very good. And that really kind of put me off. And then when I jumped into Team Deathmatch, there was like 21,000 people playing it. And it just kind of saddens me a little bit that people, because even though the new maps do cycle through the standard Team Deathmatch, like, I just wanted to play the new maps, and it's quite off-putting that there's not more people wanting to just play those maps and enjoy the money they've spent, so that, you know, people get used to the maps and get their money's worth out of it. I mean, that cost me 800 points, the same as everyone else, and I haven't really got my money's worth out of it yet. So that's quite disappointing.
Yeah, it always is a little bit like, well, you want to play certain maps, especially the new ones, and it's with a lot of online things, unfortunately, the fact is that as soon as it comes out, there'll be a period of time of a week or two when there'll be loads of people on there. And if you're late to that, like, you get it a bit later, you're away on holiday or whatever, there's quite a likelihood that people are either, for whatever reasons, that they're moving on, like, maybe they're used to playing them and they've got some of their favourite maps they want to play as well, and whatever, that they go back to the older maps and just wait for it to be something. That's why I've always liked the idea of maps at some stage, like you used to have with Halo 2, becoming free.
Yeah, because then everyone can get on and play it.
So just so you know, that so like 6 months down the line, if you, that at that period, that there's no differentiation between people who have got the maps and who haven't. It's just everybody's got the maps. It's all free, and they can just be put in normal matchmaking, and they just go in there, and you just get used to the maps. Whereas when they always stay at a price, there's always going to be some people, like, for different reasons. Like, some people, like, you just haven't got so much money for, like, different reasons, or you might be younger and you just like saving your money for a full game rather than to get maps or whatever. There's always going to be some people who can't afford the maps, but are good at the game. They're used to playing it and things. So it would be nice if at some stage they just did, they, even if it's just gets to the stage when the second map comes out, the first maps are all free.
Yeah, because
there's a reasonable gap between the map packs. And like you say, if there's not so many people playing that map pack one now, like, I'm guessing that there's not many people buying it anymore. That most of the people who have bought it,
you would think now they could perhaps reduce it to 400 points at the least.
Yeah, either reduce it or start thinking about doing something towards having a point when they're, like, just having some kind of scheme where people know that if I want it to play it, I really love the game, I'll spend the money now, and if I can't afford it or I'm not willing to spend the money, at some point in the future, like, the price for me to play it is either 800 points or 6 months of time, waiting. That's the price you choose.
Yeah. I think one of the downsides to this sort of, like, online gaming boom that we've obviously had from Xbox Live and so on is that there's always people out there being sort of alienated in a way. So, like, I really enjoy Gears of War 2, but I don't play it enough or enjoy it enough to go out and buy all the maps.
Yeah.
But then if I do have a friend that turns around and says, oh, do you fancy some Gears of War? They've normally got all the maps. And it then makes it really awkward because it's, you know that you're going to limit their time. You know, they can't enjoy their maps. You're not perhaps going to get into as many games. And I just think it's a real shame when that sort of thing happens. And I do totally agree that now, really, they need to get to a point where we're always fucking moaning about pricing on this podcast. You know that. But we need to get to a point where they can just say, like, for everybody, you know, it's not just that person gets to do this, that person gets to that. Every single company, if you release a map pack after 3 months, it has to be reduced. After 6 months, it has to be free, because otherwise there are a lot of people not getting their money's worth and so on. And I'm sure people like Epic and Bungie are making their money out of their 800 points. That what does it matter when it goes free?
Yeah, well, I've always liked the idea. Like, I like the thing which kind of Valve have gone with, and there's a few other companies where, like Burnout did it, obviously, for like that year of Burnout, where I like the idea that they, like, not just that the content's free, but because the content's free, there's no barrier of entry to anybody.
Yeah.
And it just extends the lifetime and the amount, like, because they will still be able to sell that game further down the line for a longer period of time.
Mm.
Because obviously, like, you get something like Gears of War, let's say, and that sells, like, in the first couple of weeks, like, that's selling massively, and then it starts to, like, gradually wane, the sales do, over time. And even when that they never seem to have another peak in the sales.
Yeah. But
I think even Wii has done better with this, is that as much as, like, different people like or dislike the Wii, that you still do get adverts for games like Professor Layton, for, like, Mario Kart, for Wii Fit. Like, these are games that have been out for a long time, and they're still getting adverts, and I think that I'm not necessarily saying that them types of games are going to work on the Xbox, but they can do things like Burnout have done and things like that, where they extended the lifetime of a game considerably by adding new stuff to it. And I think that there is a place for paid-for content, but I think it's, like, I think we'll see it more when you get these kind of free MMOs and things like Battlefield and Quake and stuff, where, like, the game's free and they're making money out of different ways. I think when they get that right, when they get something that doesn't stop other people playing the game, but is something that people want to buy, then it'll be great. They'll be able to use that as the kind of revenue stream and then get, like, things like maps out as just things to make people keep want to be playing. Because as much as people, like, you know, when someone got the new maps for Halo, that there is a certain boom in people playing it when the new maps come out, because people buy it and they start playing it. And whether that's, like, paid for or free, when you've got some new content out, it can, like, just really extend the lifetime.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, we'll be interested in just different ways that they can think of making money.
Yeah.
I haven't got the answers to this at the moment.
No, I think a lot of gamers out there probably believe they have the answer, but obviously it has to work from an economical standpoint and from a production standpoint as well. But I mean, maybe it's something that we can discuss sort of at more length with some comments from the community. But, you know, like you mentioned about advertising games like Professor Layton and things on TV, that a lot of people now start to compare the games industry to the movie industry. And I don't want to get into a huge topic here because we are meant to be talking about what we've been playing. But I just think it's a good point that comparison is always made. But the thing with the movie industry is like the film is advertised when it comes out in the cinema, but then it's obviously then advertised 9 months later when it hits DVD. And you don't have that luxury, I think, in the games industry. But I think if you could perhaps change the perception of games and change the perception of how it should be advertised, that the game should come out on, say, November and get a heavy advertising campaign, and they bring out like a map pack or an expansion pack 6 months later and then re-advertise it on TV, a bit like when Grand Theft Auto Lost in
that's
the Damned.
That's one of the very few ones.
They advertise DLC on TV, but then why can't we do that? You know, surely there are enough gamers out there that can see that advert and go, oh, you know, I knew that was coming out, but now it's kind of like it's been punched into my conscience a bit more that I then go out and download it. I think maybe we could talk about it in depth at some point, but I do think that, you know, all of this can be handled a lot better.
Yeah, there's definitely room for more coverage, and I think, like, not just TV adverts, but on sites, making, like, I think some, like, there could be a bigger deal made of certain, like, especially on specialist sites to do with games, to do with new stuff coming out. And as well, I think that the Xbox dashboard could do a lot to promote games.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, there needs, I'm still not a massive fan of the new XNA thing, like, layout wise and everything. And I think that when you look at stuff like, I'm fairly new to using Steam, really. Like, I know Steam's been out for a long time. I used it ages ago when I got Half-Life 2 and had to have it for all, like, the activation and everything. Yeah. But, like, the more I use it now, I do notice that its layout, like, definitely because it's on a PC, it's going to be different to how you have on the TV. But for selling content, they seem to have really good deals, and it seems to be really clear that, you know, that every weekend there's going to be a deal of some sort. So and it's usually a number of things. There'll be like a couple of things going on, and like they have, like, you can play stuff like Team Fortress 2 was free to play, and then it was really cheap as well. It was like half price or whatever. And they've had like things like Plants vs. Zombies is really cheap on there. Loads of streets. And you know, every weekend, all right, I'm going to look on there. And sometimes on the week there's stuff. So it's just a way of getting people to keep looking through and like keep buying stuff, because the only thing that Xbox has had like it is the arcade hits and the deal of the week. Mm-hmm. And the deal of the week, as I spoke before, seems to be quite lame, really, like the kind of things you can get.
Yeah, things very
like,
random, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real mixture. Like, I think that Bionic Commando is good, that's down to, that's 400 points now. Yeah. Strange Thing is on the PlayStation, like everybody gets it for this cheaper price because there is a reduction on PlayStation, but it's only gold members that get it on Xbox.
That's
a little
right,
weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have something like that that's quite a reasonable deal, and then you'll have something that would be really, like, a really obscure, like, say something like, I'm not saying it's a bad game at all, but say something like Overlord or something like that.
Yeah.
It'll be like the content for that, and you're like, is like 50% off for the week, and you're like, it's such a...
But why isn't,
like,
it Gears of War?
Yeah, it's such a niche
Halo
game, this thing. And like, the Live Arcade hits has so few updates.
Mm.
That there's never, it's like, you, there's more updates to Avatar clothes than there is, there's been, that I reckon, than there has been to the Xbox Live Arcade hits thing. And I think that's quite a good range. Like, Platinum ranges for PlayStation and, like, whatever the one is for the Xbox and the classics.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
They seem to do pretty well. It's a good way of getting people to buy games that have been out for quite a while, but don't seem to use it. But should we go back on topic a little
Let's
bit?
Get back on topic. One thing I will just like to wrap that up is I just think that really, you know, we could go on and on and on about this, and I'm sure we probably will. But I just think perception just needs to change in the industry that we've got, really. But yeah, back to what we've been playing. What the fuck was I playing? What did I say?
You've been going like, we've done arcades, we've done UFC, and then...
Touched on COD, that's where we got to that. I played a bit of Call of Duty, that was great, and I've dabbled on a couple of arcade games, but I mean, unfortunately, I've kind of missed out on a lot of the news and a lot of the arcade demos, so I've not played any arcade demos, and I've, because I've been away, I haven't really played any of the newer games out, so I mean, that was pretty much me.
Okay,
that
right.
Sounded a lot longer than what I actually played, because we rambled a bit.
Yeah, we did some bits, but I'm happy to
do that. So what have you been playing? You've actually been playing a lot.
Yeah,
actually, I have played two Wii games, but you're going to talk about them,
we'll talk about some of those. Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Wii stuff, so I might as well start with that. Let's start with the one you were playing a little bit earlier as well. Playing Punch-Out.
Great
which,
game.
yeah, which is like a game I'd played bits of Punch Out and Super Punch Out, but it's never a game that I'd played all the way through. I'd like played at a friend's house or something like that. And I've got quite an interest in these remakes of games that are coming out and like how they do them. And first things, like graphics wise, I think it's as an update, it's really nice. It looks really
it does,
good.
Yeah.
Like it's got that kind of, and it's that kind of cel shaded cartoony thing that everyone's seen it. Like one of the things I remember you mentioning earlier was that you think it actually looks better when you see it playing to like the
It
screenshots. It is
certainly
one of
does.
those. Like it looks really basic in the screenshots almost, like because it's like looks like a still cartoon shot. But when you see it in motion, it's like really nice. Like
Yeah.
looks really good, really
But it's
clear.
like you pointed out the talking about the graphics, like when you're punching them and they start to develop bruising,
Yeah,
like you don't
that's.
notice that in like a screenshot because it's a screenshot. But whereas you've seen it develop over the punches, when you pointed that out, I was like, actually, wow, that's really, really good little feature.
Yeah,
It
it's
works
really
brilliant.
nice bits. They get like bruises as you're playing, and it's like it's cartoon comic kind of
Yeah.
bruises, like big bruises on their stomachs, and like getting like they'll start getting like plasters and that, or like plaster on their nose, or like they'll lose teeth and that
Yeah,
as
the
you're
big
playing.
bumps on the head, the
Yeah, big
mouses on the
bumps on their
head,
head
yeah.
and things like that. And it plays just like the old Punch-Outs, and it's weird because it's a bit. If you haven't played like Punch-Out before, it's kind of like half action and half puzzle, and you're playing a boxing fight, and you can't just wear someone down by punching them in the stomach, because especially later on they will block everything, and you'll only be able to attack by watching what the fighter does and then avoiding their punch and counter-attacking in a certain way. So it's a lot to do working out. Oh, like they do this, I'm going to have to do this to counteract it, and then you go through, and different fighters have different weaknesses,
Yeah.
and yeah, I found it. So it does play really like the old games. I found it really enjoyable. You can play either with motion controls or just using the Wiimote on its side, just like an S pad kind of thing. And I found like both ways. I used trying it earlier and that, and both ways seem to play really well. Like,
Yeah, I enjoy both. I still don't know which one I'd favour because before we came on, I said I preferred using it like a NES pad. But now I'm sitting here thinking, I actually think I preferred the motion control.
It's a real
I
mixture. It's
don't
one of
really
the
know.
few games that. I think that they've got the motion controls down well enough
Yeah.
that you don't feel at a disadvantage either using the motion controls or not using them and just using the regular pad, and which is a great thing. Like the other day, I was like through a different game. I was doing like loads of exercise things and that. But like when I wanted to play Punch Out, I was in that kind of like I know it's not proper exercise. It's not like going to the gym, so don't laugh too much. But like playing Punch Out and doing the boxing, like you feel like getting up and doing something. You can do like the actual boxing motions
Yeah.
and enjoy it. And if you're in the mood where you're just, having a couple of beers and you just want to chill out on the sofa and just play it like, don't get too energetic, play it with a pad. And I think you just could get through the game using a mixture of different control methods as you go. It's like simple enough. All you do is if you're playing with motion controls, unplug the nunchuck and it
Yeah.
puts it straight into a thing, Bob, like even midway through a fight or anything.
Because one of the things I really like about the motion controls on that is that, and I'm going to sound like a bit of a geek, but I'm sure you'll probably agree, is like inside probably more men than women, there's that little boy inside you that wants to swing a lightsaber and wants to be the boxer and that wants to be the wrestler and wants to be the fighter. And I think it brings out that sense in you that you are actually doing the damage and you're actually playing. You're not playing a game, you're just playing. It's about like being a kid again when you'd stand in your bedroom or muck around with your mates and play fight. It's that kind of feeling to the game, and I think that's why I'm slightly maybe leaning towards the motion controls because it brings back fun in gaming.
I've used motion controls at the moment more than I haven't, and I just enjoyed it, and it's just a different thing. And but yeah, it depends on what mood you're in. That's the best thing, as I said earlier, was that you're never at a disadvantage, I don't think,
No.
whether you're using them or you're not. It just feels like you're just playing it in a slightly different way, and you'll be able to get through the career mode using either method. And it's quite nice. It's like once you play through, there's three kind of belts you go through, like minor, major, and that. And then after that, there's a kind of remixed version of the whole game that
There's
you
a
can.
title
Yeah, it's
defense,
a
yeah.
title defense where you go through, and every single one of the fighters you have been fighting, the way that they play is slightly differently, and their weakness, like previously, their weakness might have been like you're avoiding like an uppercut of theirs, and then you go in with a couple of headshots. Well, now they'll be wearing like headgear, or they'll
Yeah.
be wearing certain protection where you was getting them, and you have to work out a
Well,
different
like
way.
the typical example is Glass Joe, isn't it? Like he's renowned for his glass jaw. And obviously, you just have to punch him in the face. And then I think on title defense, he does have the head guard, doesn't he? So he can't use his weakness. I think that's actually really good because even though I've heard that it's really, really hard, I think that's a really nice feature to bring in just to kind of mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's good to that you'll be able, I think anyone will be able to, like, it does get a little bit harder towards the end, but anyone will be able to get through with a little bit of patience, get through the main career mode, because the fights generally will be, well, I think it goes up to three rounds, and if you haven't won at the end of three rounds, it goes to a decision, right. And it'll either go your way or their way. Mm-hmm. So everything's this three rounds, so it's relatively short. And you can even, like a mode that I didn't show you earlier, there's in an exhibition mode, which is quite nice in that you can fight any fighter you've got up to. You don't even have to have beaten them, as long as you've got to them. Mm-hmm. So say you'd got up to like King Hippo or something, you can play them, and you fight against a hologram of them.
Right.
But their punches don't do damage to you, so you can practice. So you can just be like, oh, he's doing like that certain special move, and like you duck to the right, and like you don't avoid it, and you're like, okay, but you still got your full health, and then next time he does it, you like maybe duck back or whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, that did avoid it, and now I can get in and do a punch.
Right.
So you can just practice. Yeah. I don't think that you'll ever, if you ever get stuck, if you haven't tried that mode, you just go fight the hologram fire, work out what their weakness is.
Yeah.
And usually after like a few moments of not getting injured by them, and like, because you obviously won't get knocked out by them, and you can just feel more relaxed, so you can just mess around with things. A lot of them, you just do a thing and it just clicks, oh, that's what it's done. And then like quite often I would work out what it is and then just go like, just quit out of that straight away and go straight into the title, straight into that fighter, and then just put it into practice.
That's a really good mode to have. Yeah. I think that would be a little bit more accessible for people.
Yeah, so it's kind of like putting you in like a god mode kind of thing whilst you work out where the weakness is, and then you go back in. And I think, yeah, most people will get through the career using that. And then I think it's nice. I doubt everyone will play through the title defense, mm-hmm. but I think it's nice that for a game that is a little bit arcadey and like would be one of the ones that you can pick up and play for a little bit and then like maybe leave it for a month or so. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's quite nice that you can play for your career and then go back like at some point later on and just think, oh, I'll do one of the title defense things, and just it's something new to play with.
And it's always going to be a game that you can pretty much pick up and just remember what you were doing.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's so in-depth that you'll forget buttons or anything.
Exactly,
like that.
Yeah. Everything's really nice and simple. Like both control methods are really nice. It's basically you've got punches, and by moving the stick up or the D-pad up, you've got head punches as opposed to body ones, and then just left and right, so avoiding stuff. Go on to some other stuff that I've been playing. Played Klonoa, which is another one that I showed you.
Yeah, this is another thing I've tried, yeah.
Yeah, which is, first of all, it's obviously a remake of Klonoa, the PlayStation game. It's only £15 on play.com, which is a great price. And it's
amazing
20,
price.
I think it's supposed to be £20 in the shops anyway. It's like £19.99 game. And it, like, that's another game. It looks lovely. Because the games, like we spoke about this before, games on the Wii using a kind of cartoony or using some kind of different art style rather than going for realistic textures, look, because of that look, you don't feel like you're getting a downgraded version of like a next-gen console game. You just feel like you're getting a game and it looks nice how it is. And people who haven't played Klonoa, it's like a side-scrolling platformer, but it's within... It's weird, it's like that kind of 2.5D, a bit like Beautiful Joe when he used to play, where you're kind of side-scrolling, but then you've got bits where you can kind of go into the screen and it changes perspective. And the level, like a lot of levels, like the one I showed you, the first level, has like a windmill in the middle. And imagine like a pathway spiraling round and in and out of that windmill, but you stay in a 2D perspective, but you've constantly got points of reference for it. And I think that's for the price. Like, I was thinking about talking to you earlier about that. It's almost really, I think, if he was going to be spending like £15-20, for a lot of people who are like really into games, it's almost probably more worthwhile getting them punch out.
Yeah, it would be.
I think,
yeah,
because
definitely.
It's a longer game. It's a like
you get
a,
more out of it.
Yeah, you definitely get, and like punch out. Like, love both of the games, but yeah, obviously different reasons for playing them. And punch out is more of a kind of. Like, I wouldn't ever really want to sit through and play all of the title bouts in Punch-Out, one after the other. I'd always rather do, like, one belt. It's like four or five fights, maybe in a row, and then give it a rest. Whereas Klonoa, I think you could really sit down and get used to the story isn't the story isn't the part that I would go there for, although some people do like the story of Klonoa. But you can go through and you can skip all of the cutscenes. You can just get through and just play the game. So, yeah, that's really enjoyable. It looks really nice. Plays really
I really enjoyed it. It made me think of when I first played New Super Mario Bros. On the DS.
Yeah.
And you kind of have that enjoyment of, wow, this is like it's platforming again. Because you don't have platformer games nowadays.
No.
And when I played it, I kind of felt sort of slightly excited that there was this new, really nice looking. I hate saying it's nice looking for a Wii game, so I want to try and steer clear of that, but it's a really nice looking game. It's nice and colourful. it's got the Sega colours as well. You know, it's like really bright, pops off the screen, and it sort of eased you in really nicely. I really enjoyed it. I'm considering going home after this and ordering it off Play straight away.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. The other ones I've played a little bit, so another game called Anno, Make a New World.
Yeah, you were telling me about this.
Yeah, I was going to show you, but we didn't really have enough time earlier to kind of go through everything. But this is, because I really wanted to play Civilization Revolution, and there was going to be a Wii version of that coming out, but it was always delayed, and I don't know if it's been permanently cancelled now.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
There's talk about, but this Anno comes from a PC game that's a bit like Civilization, but it's, first of all, it's not turn-based, is the thing. You still view overhead like you would in Civilization, but it's not turn-based. And you've got these islands, and it all kind of, like, you go through a kind of career story mode, and it will be the same sort of things as you would be used to in Civilization, but maybe a little bit more to, like, the micromanaging scale rather than the really big expanded. Because what I've done so far, you're not attacking places or anything, and the research trees aren't so big, so it's really like a Wii-ified version. But you have all the things where you have an island, you start off, you build some houses for some settlers, but then you need wood for houses, so you need like a lumberjack's hut, and then you've got more wood to buy houses. The more people you've got there, they're all paying taxes, so you can raise the, you're getting money from the more people you have there, and then they'll have certain needs to do with food, to do with like certain specialist buildings like chapels and things like that. And then once you've once you meet their needs, then they'll upgrade from like a regular person to like a settler and things like that. And then there'll be other things to do with like getting clothes manufacturers to do like fishing villages and just like with all of these things. And you build it up and you get these bigger cities, and there's like certain buildings have like an influence area, so you need to have so many per a certain area and things like that. And it's just like a really nice, relaxed game. It looks really nice, and the controls work really well. You can use, the thing I liked about it is you can just use the Wiimote to just do everything, use it as a pointer and to scroll the map around. But if you do choose to use the nunchuck, if you do plug that in, all it does is means you can scroll around the map faster, and the zoom in and out are on the nunchucks button, the C and Z. Yeah. So it just makes it, like, if you want to use it, if you wanted to, like, it's kind of that kind of thing, I think, where plug it, if you're really seriously into playing it a lot, you just plug that in and you get into it. Whereas if you're kind of like more into messing around with it, you just use the Wiimote and stuff. So it's just that option if you want to do it. So
what kind of art style has it got?
It's kind of like with many of the ones that we've been saying recently, is that it has got that kind of like cartoony, cel-shady kind of look from overhead, and everything's really clear. And obviously, it's almost like, do you know, with a lot of cartoony games, like houses and things might be slightly bigger than they or smaller than they would be for the person, the size of the character going into it, but it's to make it a clear distinction of what each building is. So you can glance over an island and you can instantly be like, oh, that's a housing area. There's like a chapel there. There's like a milk farm there. Mm-hmm. There's like grain farm there and things, and different islands, because you sail between different islands and find different islands and meet people, and like some people will be able to boost certain parts of your economy if you've got them on your islands. They're literally like, I guess, like hero characters or something.
But like you get special characters on Civilization Revolution, like the inventors, you get Einstein, and you absorb him to do stuff like that.
And if you
like
have him, if you have the person on an island, they'll boost a certain aspect of production or economy on that island. Whereas if you suddenly wanted to move, like, you've got a different island that, because one of the things you can grow for like clothes is hemp, but certain islands don't have it.
Right.
And so you might want to do, like, say you've got to suddenly produce a lot of, because you send stuff back to the king and stuff like that.
Right.
So you've got to produce a lot of clothing. You would get, you'd possibly get that person who was boosting the economy in one, and you can move them to a new island, and they'll be, they'll be doing
it. It sounds quite deep.
Yeah, it seems to get. From what I've heard, the thing is that there's the main campaign. It seems pretty long, but the main campaign is almost like people have said is like a tutorial about everything you need to know in the game. You gradually go through, and they introduce more stuff, and it gets gradually more complex.
Sure.
And then there's a different mode, which is like a they call it like an ongoing mode or a continuous mode or whatever. And that seems to be more like, from what I've heard, where like in Civilization, you've just got an area, and you it doesn't tell you how to do anything. You just start. You look at the island, you look where it's good, and you start building it up, and you just improve your things.
So I really like the sound of that game, because I'm a big fan of Civ 4, and I really, really loved Civ Rev, just purely because it brought, I don't know, the thing with Civ 4 is that you need to kind of have time to sit down and play it, and Civ Rev brought in that more of a, you know, you could pick it up if you've got like an hour, knock out a really quick game. This sounds very similar to that. And
yeah.
Being a fan of those kind of games, I'm really intrigued to see this.
Yeah, and the career, like, from what I remember from, like, save points, it seemed quite good. Like, when you're doing, like, this, the kind of story mode, that maybe, like, a section will be teaching you how to do stuff, and it'll be, like, 15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, like, the idea of the first bits is that, basically, you're one of two princes, and there's the king, and there's a problem with people starving and stuff in the kingdom. So he kind of sends out both his sons to find other islands and, like, to produce stuff and get food for the people and stuff. So you'll have a certain criteria, which will be, like, we need to get so many tons of, like, grain. Mm-hmm. And then so it'll tell you what to do, and you go, and once you produce that, you click to send it back to your king, and then it'll be kind of like, do you want to save here? And you can, and that may be taking you 15 minutes, and then you could, like, stop there, or if you continue, it's about doing something else.
All right.
So it's quite nice like that. And all of the, do you know, like, how you have the talking heads kind of things in Civilization, where you have advisors and things like that?
Yeah.
There's two main people you've got with you at the moment, and it is all fully voiced and everything. Like, they're cartoon heads and that. But
does it actually speak English, or is it, like, Simlish?
No, it is full English. But
I
don't
like all this Simlish crap that they don't actually
talk. Oh, no, it is the problem. So you don't have to read the text, you could just listen to it. The only thing is that where it's set, some kind of like, I don't know what, say, like, medieval kind of periods or whatever, like, voices are like oldie English voices and things like that. Like, you imagine, like, it's like the kind of the times you imagine with, like, Christopher Columbus and stuff. You go out in a sailboat, and parts of that, like, parts of the story and characters, some people will just be fine with it, some people might be, like, a little bit, like, nonplussed by it. But I think it's just kind of teaching you all the things, and then you obviously go through this other mode, and the more I play, I'll find out quite how deep it is. It's getting gradually deeper with different things. I don't think it's ever going to be as deep as, like, Civ 4.
Right.
It's not. I just totally don't think it's going for that at all. It's just going for, like, a smaller level. And although there are kind of, as far as I know, there are kind of, like, there are different ways you can progress down different, like, trees of things. Mm-hmm. It's never as complex as, like, the Civ 4.
No, it sounds really good, and I think a lot of people that, you know, do own a Wii that are looking for more of a strategy-based game, from the sounds of it, it sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's the only kind of game like it. And as you play it, you do kind of think, when you use, like, I'll try and give you a little go before we next record a podcast and everything. But you do think that there would be, even if the graphics were cartoony, like Advance Wars, like, when you play this, I'll show you how it works and that, and just the controls, and I could just see, like, some kind of simplistic but fun kind of real-time strategy game. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I do like Pikmin, and obviously we're hearing about Pikmin 3 and that coming out, it's real-time strategy, but it's not like sending out tanks and helicopters and stuff, which is like a fun kind of way of doing these battles and things. But yeah, the control system would definitely work very well, and even if some other, like, there's all rumours of other consoles getting motion controllers and pointers and things. Yeah. If someone else was to have some kind of pointer on a high def console, I could see it working really well.
Yeah, I think I think we had this conversation when you told me about this game. We were on the train going up to MCM, and I think we branched off onto Halo Wars and things like that, didn't we? And saying that, you know, it might be another genre, because I think the Wii's doing really good for the 2D fighting genre, and I think it's another genre that the Wii could actually pull away and go, do you know what, we can do this really bloody well. Here's this game. I mean, I suppose, like, you know, how we've commented on Broken Sword being amazing on DS, you know, if they brought games like that to the Wii, it's another thing that the Wii can nail. I think the more we see these games, it might start appealing to other gamers as well that think, well, actually, I like my strategy games, but I just want to chill out on the sofa while I do it. I think if the Wii can nail those, mate, it's going to start.
Yeah, it could definitely really do some things. There's another game to play a tiny bit. I'm not really going to talk about loads because kind of like mixed how I'm feeling. But when we were talking about strategy games, there's a game called Little King's Story.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's got, like, if anyone's like reads magazine reviews or goes to websites and that is listening, obviously, you'll probably have noticed that maybe that this game, or if you even look it up, has got very high scores. Like, Edge gave it a 9 out of 10. Yep. A lot of people, like, 9 out of 10 seems to be the kind of standard score for this game.
Yeah, definitely.
Played like the early parts of it so far and not totally grabbed by it. Like, the thing that I must wonder at the moment is I'm thinking it must be that kind of game where there are a number of games where, like, especially RPGs and things like that, where maybe not for the first few hours you don't really notice, like, you're not totally grabbed by it, but once you are, once you've got into it and got used to all the concepts, then you just can't stop playing it. So I need to play that a bit more, and I imagine if anyone's bought it, like, I'd be interested to see, hear from them at what kind of points that they become really grabbed by it. But at the moment, out of the two strategy ones, I'm preferring the Anno Make a New World. But
I actually love the sound of that. Yeah. I mean, I've been really interested in Little King's story, but to be honest, now you've told me about Anno,
yeah,
really, really hot. And I can't, game.
Anno seems like it seems exactly the kind of game that hardly anyone's going to buy. Yeah. And for a lot of reasons, I suppose, but I think even probably like Civ 4 kind of broke out of, and like Civ Revolution, that kind of strategy game niche thing where it used to be like particularly a genre that less people are playing.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see. I'll see what your thoughts are and look up. There has hardly been any reviews of it or anything coming up and stuff. So
we'll find out a bit more
about that. And as well, because like you were saying, the other thing I was going to add was that certain genres, I think that it could work like that kind of, anything using a mouse pointer that's not particularly too far, like stuff that involves really fast point and clicking kind of from the PC, maybe you'd have to slightly think, because you can still move fast, but like think about the controls and there's less buttons and things. Whereas like certain genres, I'd never think that there'll be a really good realistic driving game on the Wii. Just because it hasn't got a controller with triggers and things, it's always going to be kind of using the Wii wheel. And although there's very fun games like Mario Kart and things like that that use the Wii wheel, I don't think they'll ever be things serious. And it's a little bit of a shame because I always thought that the strange thing is that they always say that the Wii is kind of reasonable, similar power to Xbox One, which seems fair enough.
Yeah.
But still, you never see a game that looks like Gotham 2.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
And Gotham 2, I've played Gotham 2 again, and granted, I played it on the Xbox 360 where it does kind of make it look a little bit fresh and stuff.
Fire, isn't it?
But that game still looks I think if there was a game with graphics like that come out on the Wii, it still would look nice. Yeah. And you think of things Splinter Cell and all things like that. It's definitely powerful. I always find it weird that the games that do try to go to realistic don't ever look as good as some of the Xbox One stuff. They never do. I would prefer the new art style things we've seen. Things in the Red Steel 2 trailer, whether that'll be a great game or not, at least you're going for something interesting.
Yeah, it's looking quite unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, so, have you been playing anything else, or are we just on the Wii this week?
Well, pretty much a lot of Wii stuff. I also got to play a bit of EA Active, the new fitness game. What I'd like to do at some stage, I'm hoping maybe do it. So I'd like to do a comparison between this fitness game and Wii Fit, and I know they're a lot different, but just play through and not really do a review of it, but just a kind of comparison
piece.
Yeah,
we can do that. I've got Wii Fit, you've got EA Active.
Yeah, we're definitely so. The differences I found at the moment from what I played is this EA Active is touting itself as a proper exercise game, like a full on workout game, like a workout video, rather than just kind of like Wii Fit. I like the things that Wii Fit does, but when I was I've previously done a fair lot of sports, but I haven't been to the gym that much recently. But I did on this so far. For people who haven't played it, first of all, you get a leg strap that goes on your right leg, and you can put the nunchuck on there, and it senses movement for when you're doing squats and when you're doing running on the spot and things, so it can tell how you're moving. And other ones, you use a resistance band. It's got a big stretchy band that people have been to the gym might have seen these resistance bands before, and that means you can do kind of bicep curls, tricep kickbacks, things like that. It's never going to be doing actual weights at all. But I think for people just generally wanting to get a little bit more active, it's just keeping it. And I went straight in. I did the I did 30 minutes hard workout. And
hardcore.
I thought, because the thing was I thought to get a good idea of what it's like, I thought even if I have to stop if it gets too hard, at least I'll get a good idea of what the highest level it goes up to is, just to see how far. Because you could do, if I just did the low level 10-minute workout, I might just be kind of feeling like I'm doing nothing, and I'd get a really bad impression of the game. Yeah. So I wanted to see. And what I did, I found it was a good workout. I did actually sweat a bit when I was doing it.
Nice.
There's boxing things, there's squats, lunges, running on the spot. And it talks you through, you can have a male or female trainer, and they talk you through everything. And at any point, say you're doing squats and you're not holding in the squat position long enough, they'll instantly be saying, no, you're going up too early, you're going to have to hold more at the bottom of the squat and things like that, and they keep talking to you.
Yes, there's no sound clipping, you were saying.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to jump between sound samples. It just seems to change what it's saying slightly. It'll be going okay, like go down for a squat and then you go up, like, and if you did it perfectly, it would seem to be seamless to talking. And if you did it slightly wrong, it seems to adjust instantly to what you're doing. So that bit's quite good. The next, and there's different bits it can ask you questions about your diet. You can have different users on there. You can work out together if you've both got, like, you'd need two copies of stuff and that, but you can work out together and things. And you can also, there's a 30-day workout where it gradually ramps up the difficulty over 30 days. And because the thing I did that 30-minute workout, that was like, the estimation was I'd burnt about 280 calories
in half an
hour, which is quite, like, people have been to the gym, obviously, like, some people are like, oh, you get like a chocolate bar's 100 calories or whatever, so you're not like losing loads of calories. But like for workouts, like if you're getting up to, I think I've, from different things on their site and that, it can build up to doing like about 500 calorie workout.
All right.
Like, which is, and they're saying that, like, if you was doing, say if you did 100 to 200 calories in a workout every day of a week, you'd like, if you wanted to lose weight or tone up, you definitely would be losing weight. And I've been meaning to go out jogging for ages, and I just thought this would be a really good way, like, myself and my girlfriend are kind of doing this, just to, like, start getting a bit more active and, like, start doing stuff. And then once you start exercising, then you're, like, more in the mindset, like, I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to go out for a jog, or even if it's just a walk or whatever, it's, like, your way of working out.
Yeah.
You're just more likely to do it, I think, if you've started getting active rather than if you, like, I used to go to the gym loads, and, like, now I haven't been to the gym for about 6 months or so. And I was just thinking, I'll start doing this and just get a little bit more active and start doing things. And I think it, like, maybe after like 3 or 4 months, I might not use this again, but it'll be a good kind of like key into getting into doing some more active things.
So does it use the balance board?
Well, the thing is that it comes in a pack without the balance board.
Yeah.
But there are exercises. This is what I'll have to find out as well. There are, you can, if you've got a balance board, use that for certain exercises. Like, as I say, I haven't used it with the balance board, so I can't say exactly what the thing is, but I just think it's kind of, you can use it to enhance some of the exercises, but you won't be using the balance board for
everything. Because one of the really good things about, like, Wii Fit is when you first get on, it works at your Wii Fit age.
Yeah.
That it works at your weight precisely, your BMI precisely, things like that. And I think that if they could, like, amalgamate the two, Wii Fit's really good fun, and, like, because obviously I've got Wii Fit and I've used it a fair amount, that, you know, it's great to have those mini games, but if you're actually wanting to be serious about losing the weight, I don't think Wii Fit's necessarily going to help, whereas EA Fitness will. Yeah. I think if they could amalgamate the two so that you could track your BMI and your weight and things like that, and then do the hardcore workout, that would be, I think that's kind of like the next step on, really, from workout DVDs and workout videos, and it probably would help a lot of people.
Yeah,
I am a really disappointed, though, that they didn't use Mr. Motivator for it.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
I was really gutted.
Because there was a game called Yourself Fitness.
Yeah.
And that used to be, like, it was originally on the PC, and it came out on the Xbox One, I think, and PlayStation 2. And this kind of reminds me, this EA Fitness is very much like that.
Right.
Like, it's real, is the workouts are similar to watching a workout video, but then it does throw in some things where, obviously, you're, like, a lot of the things you're looking at, a character who is supposed to be like you, and they'll be doing the movements you're doing. So it's like watching, but then, okay, and they're usually, they're facing you as you do them, but there are parts in it where, say, like the boxing one, where it's got more of a punch out view of what's happening. So, like, as you're doing the punching moves and things, your character's actually hitting targets, and if you're doing like hard punches, the targets will be breaking when you hit them as you're doing it, and like different bits like that. So there are, and there's some games like, there's one, like, you'll have done loads of squats maybe in an exercise, and then the next time, rather than the squats being like you just watching someone do squats, it's you're controlling someone who's doing rollerblading, and you hold as you hold the squat position, you'll go fast, whereas if you stand up, you'll slow down loads. So it's trying to keep you to hold the squat position. Then as you hit ramps, you do like what would be a squat jump. So you do like going from squat position to jump.
It's very similar.
And your character will do a stunt. Yeah. So it does some regular workout things, and then it throws in some of these kind of more interesting gamey kind of fitness things just to make some of the actions you have been doing, just keep them interesting. And
I think it'd definitely be good to, like, maybe next time I come here to do the podcast, I'll bring Wii Fit and the balance board with me.
Yeah.
And we'll do a proper comparison between the two games. I'd definitely be up for that.
Well, sorry to butt in, but I think we should go for a break now, come back with some MCM Expo and maybe some news and bits like that. Hi there, and welcome back. After this break, we just wanted to talk about we went to the MCM Expo, which
We
is a
did.
kind of games and comic book exhibition at the Excel Centre in London, and I was going to go over a bit of news. So should we start with obviously with the MCM stuff? You wanted to go on that?
Yeah, I mean, we went there thinking that it was going to be quite a lot of games, and unfortunately, there wasn't as much as we liked.
No.
We would have liked to have seen, and some of the games were questionably whether they were good or not. I mean, we saw some Dynasty Warriors there, didn't we? And some Dynasty Warriors Gundam, don't they
Yeah, there was
call
a
it?
lot of that was the Koei stuff, yeah. And yeah, there's the thing is that with some of the games, I thought we both thought there was going to be some more games there and some different things, and as well, certain games didn't seem like I didn't really think that Dynasty Warriors was that suited
No.
to where it was, because the thing that we'll explain to people as well is that they I hadn't been to this expo before, and it's to do and the whole idea is that there's games there. There's kind of trading card game stuff like Magic the Gathering, and they look like there was some new stuff that's going to be coming out. And then there was a lot of anime, manga kind of
Yeah, some
comic stuff,
films,
and there was all
movie
stuff
stuff.
to do, like there was Star Trek, and then there was Naruto stuff and little bits like that. There was to get an image in your head, there was more people dressed up as game or anime characters than I've ever seen anywhere in my
Well,
life.
let's put it out for the listeners. I mean, like Zach said, that is what MCM was meant to be. And MCM did say that they wanted to break the world record for the most amount of what they call cosplay. So obviously people dressing up in costumes. They wanted to get the most amount of cosplay video game characters in one place and break the world record. So I think that's probably why there was quite a few. But there were some absolutely amazing cosplay people there. But there was some fucking shit as well. I mean, there was a dude dressed as a zombie. Well, I'd say dressed as, he looked like a fucking zombie carrying a briefcase, and he was in character, limping
Limping
around
the
the
whole
whole
time.
thing. And that freaky Silent Hill nurse that we saw, she was actually really freaky,
There was
but turned me on in a weird way.
it's just quite hot. That was the thing. There was a lot. There was a number of hot girls there, just as Japanese schoolgirls and such, which was probably the highlight.
Oh, that
But
was
then there
definitely the
was
highlight.
some dudes dressed as women,
Yeah, there was
which
that
was
dude dressed
low
like
score.
fucking Princess Zelda or whatever. But anyway, I think it was fun. I mean, we probably didn't get as much out of it games wise as we wanted to, but we did get a chance to play a couple of new games, a couple of games that aren't quite out yet. Ghostbusters was meant to be there, and it was pulled at the last minute, I think, which is most likely. They never give an explanation, but I think we've pretty much surmised that it was due to the Atari-Sony sort of PR business in this country, of the fact that I think, Sony's now stepping in to obviously promote or distribute certain parts of certain versions of the game. And because of that, they couldn't put their stand there, which was a real shame because it was one of the things I was looking forward to. But we did get to play Batman Arkham Asylum.
Definitely.
And I think we're going to touch on a couple of the Wii games that we played as well. I mean, if I can just jump straight into Batman Arkham Asylum, that game blew my mind of how good it was. I
This is
loved
different.
every
I think
minute of it.
because I think we've got slightly different opinions about different things on it. The number one thing that we definitely agreed on is that it did look lovely, didn't it?
Looked
Graphics
amazing,
wise. So
yeah.
obviously this is I guess it's coming out when fairly
I think it
soon-ish.
must be, I think it's out within the next few months, or I'm not 100% sure because I know it's one of the games that's jumped around a lot. I think it was delayed. I mean, it might have even been delayed to like quarter four for all I know. I haven't touched on it recently. And for some reason, the PR people that were there weren't very helpful.
No,
They were
one of them
fit,
was hot.
she was tasty, but she was like very, very unhelpful. It was just a case of, yeah, that's the punch button. And it's like, yeah, okay, love, why don't you stand there and look pretty and I'll play a game? The game looked amazing. I mean, from the textures, the lighting, the detail, the battle damage on Batman's suit was
It
fantastic.
gradually gets kind of
And it really,
scrapes and stuff.
yeah, it really captured the grittiness of the graphic novels. I mean, I'm a big comic book fan and I haven't read anything for a while because it's such an expensive hobby, but I've read a lot of the really gritty Batman sort of series, and it just really captured that kind of feeling of it being grimy and seedy in a dark way. And it was absolutely fantastic what I played of it. I mean, I don't know what you thought of the actual combat itself,
Yeah, I
but
think
I really
because
enjoyed it.
yeah, I think whenever you play anything that's kind of like a preview, you've kind of got to give benefit of the doubt about some things. But I think that sometimes you have to if there's slight problems with clipping and things like that, which there wasn't really with this game, to be
No, there's
fair.
only like
So
one
yeah, it's only
instance.
tiny bits. So it I was impressed by how it looked, because I think the game probably recently that you're most likely to kind of compare it to is the X-Men, origins, because they're both kind of that kind of like, you've had like the X-Men film, and then like this game, and you've had like Batman fairly recently, and then you've got this game coming out. And I guess the expectations for this game are kind of that there's fans of the series are going to obviously be really interested in, but then they want to capture some other people who may be like not massively into Batman or whatever. But yeah, it looked amazing. The slight reservations I'd have is because the mode we played basically is kind of like a score attack
Yeah,
mode, isn't
it's
it?
called. I looked it up afterwards because, like we say, the PR people weren't particularly helpful, so we couldn't really sit down and speak to them. But the mode we played was called Freeform Challenge, which is, I suppose, you could say it's their version of Horde or Survival Mode, isn't it, really?
And basically you're in a fairly small area within a prison, and you're held in within barriers, and then what will happen is it's testing the freeform combat, and what will happen is there'll be a kind of like a wave of enemies. So it might start off with five regular enemies, and then you fight them, and then once you've like killed or beaten all of those, then it will go on to the next wave. It'll give you a score for that wave, and then it'll go on to the next wave, and then you continue like that to try and get through all the waves, and the enemies gradually, like, you'll start off with like normal thugs, and then like some of them will like have like be picking up like bits of scenery, like
And
pipes and
the
things.
dude with the M16.
Yeah,
And how unfair was that?
there's because on the side of one of the levels in the prison, there's kind of like a locked gun box. And like one of at some point in a wave, a guy will get a gun out there, and he'll be using a gun, and you have to try and like combo between people, and obviously you're prioritised between the people you're going to be attacking depending on like their danger. The combat was working. Was playing on the PlayStation 3 version, wasn't
We
we?
was.
And it was using the square button. It's that side, isn't it?
Yeah, it was square to attack, triangle to counter attack, circle to cape stun. I mean, the cape stun, he's literally, he flicks his cape and they're stunned for like, what, 3, 4 seconds? Enough for you to like finish him off pretty much. I mean, I really enjoyed the combat. It kind of reminded me in a weird way of the Fable 2 combat, where they all sort of centered it on the one button. So it kind of had that simplistic feel, but if you timed it really well, you just got some really nice moments, especially with the counter attacks. But from what I got from like your perspective of the game, you wanted more combo based stuff,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, the main thing that I was thinking about was that I was pressing X a lot, and like basically by hammering X against easy enemies anyway, you kind of just do like loads of cool moves going between different guys, and then if someone gets like an alert sign, a bit like in Metal Gear, kind of get like an X, but they get these kind of like lightning waves like above their head if they're about to attack, and if when they do that you hit the triangle, you will counterattack whatever move they're doing. And there's some really cool animations, like you might, if you've got your back to them, they might do a kick, and like you hit the counterattack button and you'll grab their leg, turn around, and then like knock them down. Or if you was facing them, you might catch their hand that they're punching with, and then get into a combat. And it all looks really nice, but I was just thinking that hopefully, and I'm sure it will have something like this, that a bit like how Watchmen did it in their demo and stuff, I think it'd be that you'll want to be able to do some stuff where you can do some like cool little combos to like take someone down to the floor. Like there was like a submission thing which looked like
Yeah, it was like
interesting.
you had to press, I think it was triangle and
And
circle,
circle,
and it was like a finishing move, but
yeah.
it wasn't particularly clear when we actually had to activate that. I think the other thing to mention as well is that you could throw the batarang. I think it was with L1. So like one thing I was tend to do was like taking down whoever was near to me, and then before I jumped and sort of went to the next guy to throw the batarang at him and then sort of go in and try and finish him off. So I think you can kind of combo a few things, but from getting home and sort of reading more previews about it and seeing what people are saying and reading a press release that I had, is that it does sound like that sort of simplistic combat will still be there. But I think in the main game, obviously, a lot of it's meant to be stealth based anyway. So I think it's going to be a lot of dropping out of the rafters. But from the survival mode we played, I really, really enjoyed the
The good
combat.
thing is that like I filmed when I played like the X-Men demo as well, is that the good thing about it is that for people who want to play it by like pressing the X button a lot, you will like the square button, you do some cool looking stuff. Like even if you
You
don't have
do.
to, like you don't have like you've been playing UFC a lot recently,
Yep, all right.
and you need to know to do some
It's a good
stuff that
game, that
looks
is.
to do some stuff that looks good in that game, you really need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Whereas this, you will be able to get into it, and it seems like it'll be quite nice that you'll be able to get in there and just do some stuff, and like you'll feel like you're Batman in a fight against
Yeah.
people, like you.
I think one of the good things was that anyone's going to be able to pick it up and feel like invincible. Like you could give the control pad to anyone, and obviously because the regular public were there and everyone was playing it, there was that sort of sense that you could even be a like a 6-year-old kid just hammering the button, and you would do some devastating moves, and like each of the punches sounds really solid, it looks solid.
Yeah, the connections were good.
You know, nice kind of like particle effects that come off when you're punching people, and I think it's just got that sort of style, that flair to it that a lot of people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing, it looks really good, playing well at the moment. As I say, the only thing I want to see is, I just want to see where it goes with the depth of things you can do, and obviously there's going to be a lot of things, like when you've seen, like there's videos already out on the internet and stuff about like when you've got Batman up in the rafters and just looking down at the enemies, there's like a kind of Total Recall X-ray vision kind of thing.
Detective mode, they called it, didn't they?
Which is like, obviously, which is basically, it turns everyone into, so you can imagine your vision rather than night vision going to X-ray vision, and you can literally see the bones of people. So you can see people, and you can, it tells you like how many people there are, how many are armed, and things like that. So like,
and it tells you like what health they've got left, and like whether they've got, because I think, like when I looked at a few screenshots afterwards of the detective mode, it also tells you like, it shows you if they've got any broken bones and stuff like that. Yeah. So I suppose maybe there might be an option that you can maybe single out an arm or something.
Yeah, like go for a weakness or
something. It's difficult to say at this point, but the detective mode, I mean, graphically, that looked stunning.
Yeah, no, that looked cool.
That was really nice because it had that kind of sparkly neon effect that Geometry Wars and things like that has. Yeah. It really kind of blew me away.
Yeah, definitely.
I was really impressed with it. I mean, for me, that's going to be a day one purchase.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, as I say, I want to see some more stuff, but it's definitely, like, I wasn't massively interested in this game, really. I just kind of thought it was another thing, a bit like X-Men, in that I'm sure, like, in my head, I was like, I'm sure it's good enough, like, a good enough game, but I'm not sure if it's something that I want to get. But it's definitely made me more interested in wanting to see what this is like. I'm definitely going to, like, pay a bit more attention to some of the more information that comes out about it. Should we go on to some other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't play it, but I got to play a game called Rygar.
I chose not to play it.
It's probably a good choice as well. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the company. It's Rising Star, isn't it? Same people who made King's Story.
Rising Star.
We spent a little bit of time on their booth and played Rygar, which I was really informatively told by the PR guy there that it was a cross between Zelda. Like, it was like Zelda. I've never seen a game that doesn't look like Zelda as much as this game does. It's actually more of a cross between Zelda and Bionic Commando, because you play as like a gladiator type man that actually it's a fucking ripoff of God of War, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it is a bit like God of War.
He's got the chained weapons that he kind of throws around, and you use the motion control by swiping sideways. He kind of flicks the chained weapon to the side and flicking it down. He does it to the downwards. And we were playing in like another arena based mode where it just spawns lots of enemies and boss style characters, and to be honest, I was really underwhelmed by the game. When you stood quite far from the screen, graphically it looked quite nice. The closer I got, it started to look quite horrible, because I remember saying to you, that looks quite good for a Wii game, and you were standing slightly closer and you like looked at me like I was an idiot.
I
looked a bit closer, I was like, that looks really shit. I don't know if it's because it's not finished, because he was saying it's not out till September. So it might be that it's perhaps not really polished, but it's quite a bad game. I mean, we moved on and we played Muramasa afterwards, didn't we?
Yeah,
and I got a chance to then look over at Rygar, and the guy was showing off some video footage of the main game.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it did just look like a really sort of cheap knockoff version of like Bionic Commando with different skins in like a medieval.
I just think there's an action adventure game, you've already got Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
There's talk about possible another Zelda announced or not at E3, but whether that is. But you've got that, you've got like Mario, you've got like Akami, there's a number of others.
There's too many good sort of action adventure motion control based games on the Wii, and I think this game, unless the mode they showed was like the worst mode possible to show, I think this game isn't exactly going to have any.
Yeah, I just think that it doesn't even look as good as some of the other games, let alone play as good.
Like, I mean,
if it looked a lot better, maybe people would be interested. If it had some really interesting play mechanic, then that could go. But at the moment, I don't think it's got either of those.
No, I think unless we see some more of the actual sort of single player, I suppose, campaign mode or story mode or whatever they want to call it, you know, it might shine in certain places. But when I looked at it did look like a very basic.
Just seems
sort of
like, it just even seems like an old name. To me, that name just brings an image of like Conan or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't
even
really
the artwork that
sparkle.
They had there, it was just seemed like an old idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, I wasn't personally that impressed. When I first got my hands on it, I thought this could work. And then as I sort of played through it more, it just seemed very stale. You know, all you really had was a jump button, a block button, and like these two attacks, and I don't know if it's because the guy didn't tell me there was any more that you could do on it, but he didn't even seem to really want to be able to sell it.
And then the boss, you played against a boss that was
that
just
was
lame.
Really easy. I stood in one place and none of the attacks hit me. I just stood in one area, just kept spamming him with attacks. I mean, there's no challenge in it, so I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's depressing. It's a sad state of affairs when that amount of money is put into a game like that. But they were making Muramasa, which has got a tagline byline to it, something
the
of
demon
blade.
Sort of blade, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, Muramasa, fucking brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed it. It's another one that I would say all of the time about if they get an artwork right on the Wii, you just don't even, the graphics thing is just something you don't even think about. Because obviously, it's the main thing that hardcore gamers will say is about is that a certain Wii game they'll be like, but that looks shit.
Yeah.
Compared to what they're playing. And graphics are a big thing. And I think, yeah, if they get the artwork right, which this is. And I found that, do you remember I was saying, I'm sure that they made another game that was 2D, it was a 2D scrolling fighting game. And that game was Odin Sphere. For the PlayStation 3, I think, or 2 or 3 years out. But I made a game called Odin Sphere, which is another game that looked amazing. All hand-drawn artwork, as is this, Muramasa. All hand-drawn artwork. Looks really nice, that kind of, like the colours, you get to, if you haven't like seen it or heard anything about it, it's that kind of, the Japanese kind of like blossom trees and all of that kind of thing.
I mean, we'll try and get some screenshots off of this, because it's very difficult to describe, but it's very much like when you look at these sort of oriental sort of Far East paintings. And it's like one of those has literally come to life. You can even kind of see the brush strokes in some parts of it. It was all completely hand-drawn and hand-painted to then be animated, which I really liked. But I think the actual style of the game as well, because it's effectively another 2D platformer, isn't it? But I think it's another one of these games that can be really, really deep. Your basic premise is that you choose to be a boy or a girl and then make your way through the story mode. You've got two swords, a red and a blue one. We weren't really told much more about it. They each do certain attacks, and I suppose what's the game that I'm thinking of? Ikaruga, isn't it? Where you've got the white and
Switch
the black.
Same.
I think you're probably going to have a lot of moments like that in Muramasa where you come against a boss or a character that can only be killed by blue, can only be killed by red, or perhaps they switch between the two. And I think this is going to be quite a deep game. Yeah.
Interestingly, there is something I was reading a little bit about Muramasa. I decided afterwards to read a bit. And part of what they were saying as well was that with the two swords that you have, that one of them is almost like you can use it as like a button mashing mode.
Right. Okay.
And whereas the other one is more in-depth fighting, and you can switch between the two to almost change the difficulty on the fly.
Right, okay.
There's like something they're saying. I was reading about that. So that is one of the things that they're...
Because one of the things I really liked was being able to kind of go in and sort of hammer the enemy and then flick them up in the air. And I think
a lot of juggle combos.
Yeah, then you can kind of like juggle them by hitting the... I think it's the B button, isn't it, on the remote. Yep. To then do like a special move where either you kind of shoot these energy beams up into the air from the ground, or you kind of do a spinning cartwheel in the air and flick out the blade. And I think the game itself just played really, really nicely. It looked really great. I just think this is going to be, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a sleeper hit. I don't think it's going to be one of those games that everyone's going to
run out and buy. It'll be one of those games a little bit like Akami, a little bit like Ikaruga and things he's saying, where it's like the people who know about it and get it will really enjoy it, most likely, but a lot of people just won't. And they like to see the books, like, especially with the name. I imagine it's keeping that name, Muramasa, the Demon Blade. But it's not a particularly friendly name for something.
It's not really, and especially when you compare it to the fact it's got a very cartoony art style. It's slightly anime in its presentation. The way it plays is very just basic platformer. But I think it's one of those games that's going to be easy to pick up, difficult to master.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, I've not seen any cover art for it yet. But I mean, looking at like the poster they had there, and just like the name of the game and things like that, and the fact that it's not a very well known company either that's making it, I think you are going to see a bit more. I think you're going to see maybe a small amount of sales, but it's never going to do well enough to maybe spark a sequel. Not in this country, anyway. In fact, when we saw it, I was really amazed that they were even launching it in this country and it wasn't going to be a Japan-only release. I really like that game, though. I've got a lot of high hopes for it.
I think, like, out of the games we played, Batman, I think, was probably our favourite for both of us.
Definitely.
And then Muramasa would be the second one in that. I think we both really enjoyed it, and for a lot of different reasons to why we like Batman. Mm-hmm. But it's just a very, very different game, but with some similar concepts to do with the fighting and things, but very different in their own ways. Was there anything else you wanted to talk
Well, I
about?
mean, we played things like Dynasty Warriors and stuff, but I mean, Dynasty Warriors is always going to be the same. I'm not a big fan of the series. You're not a big fan of the series. You know, we played a PSP version, we played the 360 version, and there was a Gundam one that we didn't even pick up because it just wasn't really
Yeah.
something we wanted to play. There was a couple of other things on display, but most of the stuff was either it had demos out or it's already been out. Like
Yeah.
Afro Samurai was there, strangely, but I think that was more of a link to manga. And they had like Pac-Man Championship Edition, like
Oh yeah,
arcade
they had some
compilation,
kind
didn't
of
they?
weird Namco Bandai, I guess it is,
Yeah.
arcade compilation thing for the Xbox 360, which I'm really not sure if it's something that they was just showing their games or whether it's going to come out. It's called like Namco Anthology or something,
Yeah.
and it had loads of games on there. It had like a load of like Pac-Man Championship Edition, Galaga Legions, loads of arcade stuff, and then it had a load of other older stuff
Yeah.
like old versions of Dig Dug and things like that, but
Yeah.
probably about like maybe up to like 50 games on there.
I think one of
So
the downsides, kind of veering off topic, but to explain this, is that, you know, as great as the atmosphere was at MCM, I don't want to sort of slam the PR and the marketers too much because I do follow a few of them on Twitter, and you know, they probably got quite a hard job, but there never really seemed to be enough people around to kind of say, well, look, tell me a little bit more about the game. It was very, very busy there, and when we were trying out the Namco Bandai thing,
Yeah.
it was swamped. That
Yeah,
booth
it
was
was very
swamped because I
busy.
mean, they had like the family skiing snowboard for the Wii
Well,
in there.
yeah.
Their Tales of Vesperia was
Some
playing.
like dancing.
Yeah, they had some like dancing games. So, and it was really, really swamped. So we didn't get much of a chance to ask. I mean, I think you played a little bit of Pac-Man Championship Edition just to kind of see what it was like, whether it was any different. But you know, we didn't really get much of a chance to ask
No,
those
there's that.
people.
And unfortunately, the other game, like although it is one of the like bigger games, the Tales of Vesperia, is really the most unideal place to play that kind of
Yeah,
game.
with
If there
people
is,
bugging you. I
yeah,
mean,
there's
like when I was
loads of
playing Batman and that
noise.
annoying little kid next to me
Oh
was
man, yeah.
saying kapow and wachah and quoting the game at me. We'd obviously played it far too much the day before or that morning. But sometimes it's not the best place to play games. In terms of Vesperia, obviously, it's a game you need to read. It's a
Yeah.
game you need to learn and concentrate
And
on.
just
And at
get
the end of the day,
into.
there's a demo out.
Yeah.
If we wanted to
And
play
it
it, we
looks
would go.
gorgeous, though. That's I'd
Oh, it's a
seen
beautiful
it's
game.
different. It was different parts to what's in the Xbox Live demo that's recently come out, and so. But it does look amazing. The only like when I played the demo, that the one thing I didn't like when I played it at home, the one thing I haven't liked about that particular game is that the music is a little bit annoying, the
Right.
background music. So I have to see what they do about that. But yeah, so that was there. There were some other things. There was loads of people obviously dressed up and loads of people with signs for free hugs.
Yeah, that really disturbed me.
Yeah, we
But
wasn't
there was
slowly.
someone who had a sign saying, if you give me a free hug, it will cure swine flu, which I thought was quite funny. But yeah, the whole free hug sign thing
Yeah,
really disturbed
there
me.
was some freaky people there. I would have loved to have got like if we
But
go again,
yeah.
there's some other stuff we'd like to do. This maybe we'll talk about at a
Yeah,
different
well,
time.
that's pretty top secret at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, but
But it was worth going as well, just for that burger.
yeah, they had like you usually think you're going to get some kind of like plastic hot dog or something to eat at
Yeah.
these kind of things, but actually the food places at XL have improved a lot, and this was like one
That was really,
really
really
good
nice.
burger we got there.
That was probably one of the nicest burgers I've ever eaten.
And the weirdest thing I think happened on the whole thing, because I've got to say it,
You have to say it.
was that the journey itself was pretty mental in that we had
Yeah, it
to
was quite
we had to
arduous.
it was like we wanted to get somewhere that's relatively close,
Yeah, I mean,
like
the XL
really
was
the
about
XL.
60 miles away
Yeah,
at maximum from where we live.
and me and Shiva had to meet up obviously at the train station, get a train, and then a bus, then an underground, then the DLR.
And then a
And then a
bus.
bus to get to this place. So it's like an incredible journey
It was a
there.
2 hour journey for a 60 mile
Yeah,
fucking
we
distance.
probably could have like cycled there a little bit quicker. But yeah, there's of all the things to happen, and I wish I'd got some kind of pictures of this, but we was on the bus and there's this guy, and I did think, first of all, did you think his voice was a little bit like, do you know in Men in Black where you've got the guy and he gets into the body of a human, like the AI, and his
Yeah.
voice is like, excuse me, like that.
Yeah.
The first thing that we thought was weird was this guy gets on the bus, there's someone just sitting down, and he goes, excuse me, can I sit there, please? Like this. And this other guy, this like of all the people to do it to, there was a
He was
load
a
of
geezer on crutches
Yeah, no,
with
but
his whole
there was a
fucking leg
the
blaster.
bigger thing I thought was there was a load of Millwall fans going to the
Yeah,
game.
yeah.
And like if there's some people I don't really want to start shouting at, it's Millwall fans.
Yeah.
So he and this guy was so shocked that he got up and just like moved across while this weirdo guy sat down. And then everything's...
Who kept taking photos of the sky.
Yeah, he
this
took...
This weirdo bloke just kept photos. Taking photos of blue sky.
Yeah, with quite a nice camera.
Yeah, with it, a really nice... I used to actually own that camera. It's a very nice camera.
Really nice camera. So, and then halfway there, we start... I hear this, like, kind of meowing noise, which I think at the time was is someone's phone. Like, yeah. A text message going off. You hear this, like, meow. Like, I thought it was, like, funky, but someone likes cats. And then we look over, and this guy unzips his backpack... To reveal inside, he's got a full-size, fully grown cat. Not like a kitten, not like a teddy bear or anything. This is an actual live cat pet. Full-size black cat.
Bless him, he was stroking it and cuddling it and kissing it.
Yeah, and
not actually, like, tonguing it. It was, like, giving it a little kiss.
Yeah, and it's...
Consoling it.
And everyone nearby was slightly a little bit freaked out about that, like, this guy's actually got a cat in his bag and he's on a bus.
But it's not even like a bag designed to hold a cat. It
no,
was
we're
his
talking
fucking
about
backpack.
Yeah, like a rucksack. Regular.
And he had it zipped up as well, yeah, didn't
and
he?
Had, and then so he's there with his cat, just like on his lap in his bag. And then the even more bizarre thing, you'd think you've got like a cat in a bag. And we're not talking about like, this isn't like Paris Hilton with like a little bag and the dog's head sticking out of it. This is like a backpack with a cat stuffed in it, yeah. Zipped up.
It's like he'd gone on the pinch from the RSPCA, yeah. And just bundled this cat.
So we go to get off. We had to get off at Romford, just nearby. And I think it was actually Newbury Park. But we know he's got this cat in this black rucksack. And so as we're getting off, we're like, what's he going to do? Like, obviously, and all he did was he zipped it completely shut, like no air hole at all. This is just like zip shut, like you would like if you was getting on the underground or whatever, and you didn't want to get anything nicked. And then he just slings his bag over his shoulder, though.
Like he kind of thudded as the bag hit his back. And all I'm thinking is, he's going to open that, and that cat's going to be dead.
Well, I was just thinking, man, that thing must be like upside down by now, because the way that he moved, and he's just chucked this bag on his back, and then he's obviously gone to get on the underground with his cat. And I was thinking, man,
that was probably one of the most amazing things I saw that day.
Oh well, I thought, because as well, the thing that I'd mention is that wisely before, like me and Stripe had obviously worked out for a while that we was going to be going to this MCM Expo, and we was going to be meeting up, was it 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
So like wisely, like anybody would do. The night before this, I stayed out till 4 o'clock in the morning, drinking cider and whiskey and all sorts. And and then had to wake up about 3 hours later and meet Stripe. So I was thinking at the time when I saw this, I thought, is this some kind of weird hallucination?
Yeah, did someone put a roofie like, in your drink?
It's something that happened. Am I going to wake up in a minute? But yeah, that was real. And then later on, we see hundreds of people. We see men dressed as women.
Yeah,
we see some really great costumes, and we see
there
some
were some really good. I mean, we, as we were walking in, there were two girls dressed up as the prince from Katamari Damacy, weren't there? And they looked really good, and they had like a little ball they were carrying around.
Yeah,
they looked really, really, really cool. There was some great costumes. There was a guy dressed up as Predator.
Yeah,
Predator. One as an alien, and they had like four colonial marines.
Yeah.
Guiding them around, and there were some really, really good cosplays.
Loads of Pokemon
there.
Things, and
there was an immense amount of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and Naruto and things like that. And it was an enjoyable day, but I think to me the best moment was Catman.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
So it was the Catman. But anyway, that was our trip to MCM. We're kind of running on a little bit. Do we want to go over some news, or should we let the people rest and come back with the news next week?
Yeah, I think that we're gonna call it quits here. Yep. Like, it's gone on longer than we thought it was going to, anyway, but we've had a good time, and hopefully you've enjoyed listening to it. We're going to be talking about changing things, doing things slightly differently, and yeah, things are going to change, and they are going to change for the better, and hopefully you'll just join us and carry on following us through
this. I think by the time this goes up, we're going to have chatted about a few things, we've bounced a few ideas, there'll be something up on the website. We're going to change a couple of things on the website and how you'll read a few things on there. That'll go up when the podcast show notes go up, most likely. But I think we're enjoying the show a little bit more. We're going to change the format maybe, and we'll kind of get some feedback. But it's been good to be back anyway.
Okay, so going to call it a show for now.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you all next week.
Ciao.
This podcast is sponsored by gamesbasement.co.uk, the only games website designed by gamers for gamers. Follow us on Twitter, and don't forget to visit www.gamesbasement.co.uk.